You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Yeah, it's the same old show.
That's right. We
just
didn't change.
Just a new year, 2023.
Feels good.
Will you hit 2023 on checks? Do you even write checks anymore? I still write checks.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Well, you don't,
Mr. Venmo.
Yeah, you know, you're like so against digital banking. I don't plan on writing any checks, but I think I'd remember 23.
Don, you think Nancy will write on your checks 2023? It's just
when he gets his allowance.
Yeah,
I write the occasional. I wrote a check at Christmas time.
Wow.
To whom?
I write about 2-3 a year. So by the time I do get to the point where I write it, I'll be well into 2023. The next check I write will probably be for next Christmas. So by then,
I'm very intrigued. Before we move on, I have to know
what the check was for.
Who did you write the check to Christmas to?
It's a great
Anthony
question.
Pusick.
Who? Anthony Pusick.
Really? Interesting.
Wrote
I wrote Anthony a check too.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
I got a nice.
Can you guys tell me that's something you're doing? Paying the salary of our underpaid staff?
And I didn't know we were doing that. How about this? How about this nasty human being that if he was in front of me, I'd kick his teeth in?
Go ahead.
Now, I sent a nice check to Andrew Gunling. Not even a thank you. Animal.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, because Andrew Gunling worked until September. He doesn't deserve to be stiff.
God hates me.
Yeah, now I hate you.
Well, see, rather than hate him, Michael, I would probably err on the side of him not receiving it.
Yeah, is that possible?
Because he's such a good guy. That would be what, Peter, that's what I would be concerned about. If I didn't hear from Andrew, it was because
Now, if I text him, did you get the check, and he goes, yes, then I'm going to want to drive over to his house and drive through the front door.
No, but I do hear you. It's a tough spot.
Yeah, I don't want to check. Maybe it'll get back to him now that I'm ripping him on the air. And I could also go to the bank and see if that check's been cashed. Anthony was very thankful.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Anthony, were you surprised by that? Because I am.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You weren't expecting it.
No, of course not. I don't. I'm thankful for Michael, for Don.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that you guys thought of me. That was nice of you.
So
really.
Are you working under the same premise as RJ's wedding gift? You're just not going to give the guy
Mr. Venmo? No, I just didn't know. I didn't know that you yearly gave a bonus like that.
Oh, my God. A bonus? Don't make me out to be the company. That's
well,
Disney.
I mean, you get the idea. I mean,
Anthony doesn't get paid commensurate to the work he does.
True. I agree.
Well, I was motivated, Peter, because he really helps me a lot with game misconduct, and that doesn't come
right,
with
and that's,
his job. So.
Right. That's extra.
And
work.
I was just motivated by the goodness of the holidays because he does nothing for me.
So. God hates me.
Yeah, now I hate you.
Yeah. Wow, strong. Very strong start.
It's time for the Michael K. Show Pro Picks, and they're sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. As I said, Don, I don't know if you've been noticing now, he pulled out to a very big lead, but I don't think Peter's putting in the work anymore because he absolutely is horrid lately.
Yeah,
horrid.
He's not playing his starter.
First of all, I actually did the same thing, but at least I did 1 point. He went with the Commanders for 3 points, and they got embarrassed by the Browns.
I do it again. There was no reason they shouldn't have won that game by 3 points.
That's on them.
That's right, Don. I got it right.
Then you went with the Eagles for 2 points.
That I got wrong. That was the belief that team could still play well with Gardner Minshew, and I was wrong.
All right, and then you got 1 point with the Lions, and Don had that for a three-pointer, so I was rooting hard for the Bears.
Right.
But it wasn't even close.
I really was rooting against Detroit for that, too, because Don had more points, and Detroit winning knocked Washington out of the playoffs.
That's right. And Don, for some reason, put a one-point pick on the Texans while I luxuriated in the Jaguars for 3 points.
What was the Texans' thought, Don? Can you work us through that?
They almost beat the Cowboys. They took the Chiefs to overtime.
Okay.
Like, they've been playing well, so I figured divisional game. All of a sudden, everybody's so high on Jacksonville. Like, they're a great team. They're still under 500, so I figured Why not? It was my 1-point play. Okay. I wasn't feeling any other game.
Well,
I'm not going to apologize. For
no, you shouldn't apologize.
I got 5 points on that.
You had a great week. Is it? I can't believe that you guys both. Michael, you got 5 too?
I got 5 as well.
You guys both got 5 points, and still the lead is big. Isn't that crazy? I've had
here's
a bad
the lead
3 weeks.
Right now. You have 59.5 points.
Yep.
You're 28-22-1. Now, I have a better record. No, I don't. No. I'm sorry, I don't. Don
that was unfortunate.
Has 49.5 points. He's 23-25-3. And I'm 23-26-2, and I'm 1.5 behind him. So we both got 5 points last week. Don, that's all Don cares about right now.
So real quick.
And Aaron Boone got a push.
Yeah, he did get a push. Bear got
if we get
ball.
Pushes, well, we get pushes.
But if Boone was with us, he would be red hot right now.
Why?
Because I text him at 12.5. So he was picking that at 12.5. Now, maybe he would have still picked them at 14, but when I was given the information from Anthony, I text him 12.5.
Oh, so he did get it right in his eyes.
Yeah, so I don't know. He might have still went with it. But that's a big point and a half.
Gone with it. That is a big one. Now, real quick, one more time. What's my point total?
Your point total is 59.5.
And what's your
Don is 49.5. That's 10 points back.
Okay.
And I'm 48, so that's 11.5 points.
I got to pull it together, but that's why I mounted the lead that I did.
But so do you want to embarrass yourself down the stretch?
No.
I mean, you're stumbling and bumbling right now.
I want to finish you guys off this weekend. That didn't sound right.
We got our first 2023 text from Rick DiPietro.
Oh,
Don.
Great.
Would you like to hear it?
He's up from his nap.
Of course I do.
He said, Peter's neck button should get a bonus check. That button is a warrior.
My neck button?
Yeah.
It's not even tight.
He's saying that you have a fat neck. That's
he's wrong. The shirt's not even tight around my neck.
By the way, everybody, I hope you're listening from 6 to 10 now to DiPietro and Rothenberg. It's a big boy morning show now.
A full
big boy morning show.
And by the way, not only that, Bart and Hahn right before us.
That's right.
That's a local program.
That's a full big boy local show.
Right?
Yeah. And then us.
We got a lot of local programming here. People have wanted it. They got it. Toyota.
And maybe eliminating some excuses for us.
No, definitely. You got to say.
Oh, yeah.
At least some. There's none left. It's it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
No, I'm going to give them
21 years of this. I'll be telling you. There's nothing after this. This is it. We don't have anything else.
So we're excited about this.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. What do you mean 21? Well, there's nothing after this. What does that mean?
No, I'm saying for 21 years, right. I know about excuses.
Right.
Whenever he wanted to pull out the excuse, they're not local enough.
Interesting. That's the Michael K. Show Pro Pick, sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
It really is.
Every
the best.
Moment more with FanDuel,
sure.
Official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Before we get back to the football, so the Yankees hired Brian Sabian today as an advisor to the senior vice president and general manager. That's Brian Cashman. I got to tell you, I'm amazed at people in our business that have so misinterpreted this as some kind of threat to Brian Cashman. Brian Sabian is an advisor to Cashman. Cashman just signed a 4-year contract. There is no threat to Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman is close with Brian Sabian. Brian Sabian was one of the architects with Gene Michael of the Yankee championship teams in the 90s.
Right.
And he's bringing along another brain to give him advice. He's already got a guy like that in Jim Hendry. Now, Tim Nehring is more of a, he's not an advisor. He's actually, an assistant to Brian. But people say, oh, this is going to put Brian on notice. I mean, are you people out of your mind? This means nothing other than that Brian could bounce ideas off another guy who has 3 championships. Let me tell you Brian Sabian's background, by the way. We all know that he was a GM of the Giants and he won 3 World Series. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. But he started with the Yankees in 1985 as a scout. Then from 86 to 90, he was the director of scouting. And then from 90 to 92, he was the vice president of player development. Don and Peter, you know who he drafted under his watch? Jeter, Rivera, Posada, Pettit, and Bernie Williams. Mm-hmm. So I think he had something to do. Brian said that his fingerprints are on the 96, 98, 99, 2000 teams as much as anybody else. He wasn't even working for the Yankees in those years. But those players that he drafted became the core of those championship teams.
Yeah.
But this is no threat to Brian Cashman. Well, Brian's the guy who hired him.
It's not a threat per se. But let me side on go on the other side a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Is it possible that him getting this contract extension from the contract, because he was a free agent at the end of the season, was, hey, we're going to give this to you, but we really would like, and you could choose him if you want, but we'd like to get a little bit of a yin to your yang here, maybe somebody that's a little bit more old school, because Sabian was basically forced out in San Francisco because he wasn't an analytical guy. Mm. You know, he's more old school baseball. And is that something that I think Hal and the Yankee organization felt like they needed to bring in here to help Brian out? Maybe they were a little too deep in the analytic pool, and this was something that everyone felt Brian should do. And it's Brian's guy, so he doesn't feel that intimidated by it. But was this a little bit more forced than you're making it out to be?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. This is totally Brian's move. The Steinbrenner family is in total alignment with Brian's vision. Brian already has those guys. Tim Nehring is not an analytic-driven guy. Jim Hendry is not an analytic. These are old-school guys. Huh. And Brian is close with Brian Sabian. This is Brian just getting another ear. That's it.
Yeah, but
there's no threat, Don.
Well, you know this more
was,
than I do.
This was
I
mean, not forced on Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman brings in Brian Sabian.
Forced is too strong a word. But could he have been encouraged to maybe...
No.
Not even because... encouraged.
No.
Right.
This is Brian Cashman's call. It is not the call of Hal Steinbrenner.
I know it's his
okay,
call.
Okay, let me
he's
go.
He's not the threat to take over for Brian. He's 66 years old. I'm not saying that you can't be a general manager at 66, but, you know, he's been out of the game for a while. He hasn't been the general manager of the Giants for a while.
He was up for the Met gig before Epler got it.
Let's try this, Don. So, let's try this. So it wasn't pushed on him... Is it possible it was a strategy, though, from Cashman reading the room and the conversation around him to go, you know what would be smart? Let me bring this guy in. This is a good look. This is a good thing for me to do.
No. First of all, he gave him a 4-year contract. He don't have to do anything. He can go to work naked now. I mean, I think that Brian is an information gatherer.
And he thinks this is just a
this
useful way to get information.
This is another guy to get a bright baseball mind. He's a baseball genius. On your staff to advise you. Believe me, everybody, I know you want to make a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal. It's a smart, forward-thinking move by Brian, but it's not forced by anybody. It's not forced by Hal. It's not forced by Randy Levine. It's not forced. It's not. Brian has all the job security in the world.
And well, Brian now he does with the 4-year contract. I'm just – but even if Brian acknowledged it himself, it's a significant name is all I'm saying, all right? He's had people – that are old school baseball guys. But this is a big name. This is somebody who's been there, done that. As a general manager, he has won World Series. It's a pretty big name to bring in, Michael. So I look at it as even if it's just Brian's call of, hey, something needs to change here. And maybe I need to be a little bit more open-minded, or maybe I need to bring in somebody whose opinion is highly respected. And maybe that's what I need a little bit. Whether it's him or the organization, it's not an insignificant move to me. I think this could really not change the direction, but be a major voice inside that room that actually is his equal. You can make the case that Brian Sabian is the equal to Brian Cashman.
No, he's not. He's an advisor. He's not even an assistant.
But I'm talking about in legacy.
Of course.
In what they've accomplished in the game.
Absolutely.
This is not some underling.
But
this is a guy that's been around longer than Brian. He's won as much as Brian, if not more than Brian, as the general manager of a team. You know, so this isn't just some voice in the back of the room. This is somebody that is, I think, not at the head of the table, but he's right there.
No. I mean, I'd love to argue with you, but it's not the case. I mean, he's done it with Kevin Towers. He's done it with Jim Hendry. He's done it with people before. He likes information. That's why he loves analytics, because he doesn't look at analytics as a bunch of nerds. He looks at analytics as getting as much information as possible on players. So he has another sounding board in Brian Sabian. Brian Sabian is not going to take Brian Cashman's job. No one is.
No, I don't. I'm not suggesting.
And he's not at the head of the table. Michael Fishman is at the head of the table with him.
I specifically said not the head of the table. What I'm saying is he has brought in somebody. You can talk about Hendry. You can talk about Tower. This is a guy that has been the architect of three World Series championships in San Francisco. Brought the first championship to San Francisco. He is Brian's equal, if not superior, in the minds of a lot of baseball people. It's not an insignificant voice he brought in here. He's not going to take the job. Brian's going to have the final say. I'm just saying this is an advisor in name, but this is a pretty significant name to be your advisor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice advisor to bring in. It shows you the power of the Yankees. And, you know, there's no salary threshold. They could pay whoever they want for front office brains. The Yankees have so much money invested in all their analytics people. I just think it's a smart move, and it gives somebody who has a lot of equity in this game Brian's ear for a little bit. That's it. That's all there is to it. It's not bigger than that. So people that are making it out to be bigger than that, they're wrong. They're wrong. I hate the pour cold water because there's a lot of people there that don't like Brian, and they oh, here's his comeuppance. He's got a future Hall of Famer. He hired him. He is not an assistant. He's an advisor, which is a very small role. And I'm not diminishing Brian Sabian, but Brian Sabian is another ear for Brian. That's it. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Sam in Manalapan. Sam.
Sam.
Hey, first time, long time. Very glad to get in and talk to you guys.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, one thing regarding Daniel Jones, I think what's going to play a big part in the Giants re-signing him is if how far they go in the playoffs. If they somehow make it to the NFC Championship game, there's no way the Giants can't re-sign him. And if by chance they make it all the way to the Super Bowl, you know, a big chance, big, you know, a lot of luck has to come on board, but then I think he writes his own ticket with the Giants.
Well, I mean, if he goes to the Super Bowl, he writes his own ticket, yeah.
That's for sure.
I mean, do we really think that's going to happen? With Richie James as one of the wide, no knock on Richie James, but I mean, this is not a complete Giant team. I mean, the job that Dable did with this team is amazing. And you're right. I'll give you that, everybody. Sam, if he takes him to the Super Bowl, he can name his price. I don't think he's at the point where he can name his price. And what Lawrence Tynes tweeted out earlier, he gets $40 million a year. Okay, I'll play along.
Well, what's realistic here, right, of who they play? You know, you play Minnesota. Hey, I think they got an excellent chance to win. They almost beat Minnesota a couple of weeks ago.
Almost
should I don't think they beat San Francisco.
Right.
So it depends. I mean, I listen, if he goes out there and gets shut out and is embarrassed in the first playoff game, that could be pretty humbling. I just don't know if there's a run in this team, but if there is, yeah, I mean, if they're playing in the championship game, guys are going to the Super Bowl, then yeah, that he's going to be able to ride his own ticket, but that's not realistic.
He's in a good spot, though, right now, no matter what he does.
Let's go to Vinny in Queens. Vinny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm not a Yankee fan, but I wanted to talk about this Brian Sabian hire. Not that he's brought in to replace Cashman, but now that he's in the building, isn't it possible that he could get Steinbrenner's ear and show him that there's a different way of doing things than Cashman's been doing it and sort of make him see the light on Cashman? You know, he thinks Cashman's word is gold, but now there's somebody else in that building whose word means just as much as Cashman's, and, you know, like Don saying, the weight of the baseball mind.
Well, but it does. Hal Steinbrenner is totally trusting with Brian Cashman. There is nobody that goes above Brian Cashman to get to Hal's ear. That's not the way the Yankees are set up. Sabian was hired by Brian Cashman, not by Hal Steinbrenner. Why are people making this out to be something it's not? He was not hired by Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner didn't tell Brian Cashman, go get Brian Sabian. Brian Cashman has a 4-year contract he just signed. He could say no. Nobody has the ear of Hal Steinbrenner more than Brian Cashman when it comes to baseball. Sorry, that's not what you want to hear. I'm telling you the truth.
But I think the caller's on to something. Let me just paint a scenario.
Go ahead.
I know you get frustrated, but
he gets upset.
All right, let's say there's a trade that's on the table, and Brian doesn't want to make the deal. But Sabian advises him, I really think this would be a good deal. I know this player. I really think this can help us. No, Brian says, no, I appreciate your feedback, but I think that I'm going to pass on the deal. And it ends up being a mistake, and Sabian ends up being right. Is that something Hal looks at and goes, interesting. Brian was right about that, and Sabian was right about that, and Brian was wrong. Like, so Because of the significance of who it is. It's not nobody. It's Sabian. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So could that be a little bit of a piece that could, you know, hurt or build up Sabian's numbers against Cashman. Just painting a scenario. If that happened a few times, could that influence Hal?
No. First of all, everybody's going to be funneling the information to Brian. Halstammer's not going to know that Michael Fishman wanted this guy, David Grabner wanted this guy, and Brian Sabian and Jim Hendry wanted somebody else. They give their opinion to Brian Cashman, and then Brian presents what he thinks after all the information to Hal Steinbrenner. It's not like Brian Sabian is going to go above Brian Cashman's head. He's just not. I wish I could argue better and make it more fun for everybody. This is not an earth-shattering move. It's not. This is the way the organization works. They crave information, so they brought in another great baseball mind to advise Brian. He's the advisor. He's not even the assistant. Tim Nehring is the assistant GM. Gene Hafterman is the assistant GM. He's an advisor, which means it's a minor role. He might not even have to be at Yankee Stadium. He probably won't be. He'll call in every now and then on a Zoom. Probably lives in San Francisco. I hate to be the buzzkill.
I you're not buzzkill to me. I equally don't care before and now.
Not you haven't changed the brand, have you?
We added another Brian. He's going to help with the decisions.
Blah, blah, Mr. Blah, Venmo? Blah.
Are they going to win in the fall or nah? That's it. I'm sorry. This is like Don. I don't even. It's so crazy. Is there another sport in which anyone would even break down hires like this to this level?
That's why baseball is great. Baseball is like life. Well, it's to be analyzed.
It all depends on how much you enjoy the analysis of it. And Peter doesn't. So.
No, I weighed in. Over. I weighed in. I asked a question.
No, I know you weighed in, but no,
I'm trying my best.
I'm with you. I didn't nod off.
I
guess when you look about when you, again, it's a significant. It would be like they're all in on Daniel Jones, right? As the quarterback. Let's say they give Daniel Jones a contract, and they're all in on Daniel Jones, but they go out and they get Derek Carr to back him up. Or not Derek Carr, like Tom Brady. I don't know. Somebody that's won before. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers comes in this case,
like, it's Tom Brady. It's Daniel Jones making the hire.
Right. But it's still someone of significance there. You have to understand, I'm just reading the tea leaves of the fan base that hates Brian. They're looking and seeing Sabian come in here, and is it possible that Sabian, if he does a good job, can replace Brian? Michael's saying no. But I'm just – it's a significant name, Peter, so that's why. If they had hired Joe Slobotnik, it probably doesn't even make the show.
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
But Sabian's going to the Hall of Fame as a general manager. And more than half of this fan base right now, if they could push a button, would want Sabian to be the general manager over Brian Cashman. Probably 75% of the fan base would hit that button right now.
I hate to disappoint them. At the start of 2023, that's not happening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Obviously, the big story today, DeMar Hamlin, still in a critical but stable condition. the hospital in Cincinnati. The NFL has, in fact, said that the game will not be made up this week. It doesn't say it will be made up. Doesn't say if it will be made up. But it will not be made up this week, which opens up the possibility that there could be a Week 19 because this game is not insignificant when it comes to playoff seedings and making the playoffs. Because if you have a Buffalo Bills team that doesn't want to play this week against the Dolphins, against the Patriots, and the Patriots just walk away with a win, well, then they make the playoffs, and is that fair to the Dolphins and the Steelers? So all of these things come into play, and again, we'll repeat what we said at the beginning of the show. Nothing is more important than the health of this 24-year-old. We get that, and we're not being insensitive to it, but there is a football season and a playoff seeding system that has to be decided. And if you don't make up this game and say Buffalo still feels like it doesn't want to play this week, then is that fair to the Dolphins and the Steelers? Because the Patriots then, let's say the Bills go, we're not playing, we're forfeiting the game against the Patriots, then the Patriots are in the playoffs? Without playing?
It's almost like you have to decide, are you still having a season?
Like, right.
We know that football does not matter relative to life and death. It's like, I mean, honestly, right. That's been now said so many times. We're all aware of that. I think we were aware of that before the game started. But we all have jobs, and ESPN exists as a network because football games are played. And Don, if they're deciding to move on with the season, which I assume they will, at some point, they have to play this game. I can't see of a way out of playing it all together.
No, and that's why I really think the best thing, you can't come – see, we live in an era, everything's got to be fair, right? But sometimes things just aren't going to be fair. You just try to make it as fair as possible, but it's not going to be 100% fair. So why not just do what I think is best, and that's create a Week 19, make it a standalone game. It's on ESPN anyway. Right? And just you'll have everybody else has a week off before the playoffs start. And I understand that's not perfect because then that would mean the teams that have a bye would have two full weeks off before their first playoff game. I know that's not ideal, but it wouldn't be right for the game not to be played and say a team gets a home game and a championship game because of a half game because they played one more game or
but
one
think
less
about
game
this too,
than
Don,
somebody else.
I didn't even consider this. The teams that have the bye would have 3 weeks off.
Well, technically, yeah.
Wait, why?
By the third week was when they would play.
They would play by the third week.
Okay, what about this? What about this? If it's all about fairness and trying to reward the teams who earned the bye, what if the teams who earned the bye – oh, no, that doesn't matter. They have to wait.
Yeah.
It's not like you can speed it up. It doesn't matter. The other games have to be played.
Again, it's not ideal, Peter, but would it be better than, let's say – I mean, I don't have the standings in front of me – that Buffalo gets the home game against Kansas City in the championship game because they played one less game than Kansas City?
No, you can't. That's why you can't do that.
Right. So you want to play the game. And it would be good for the NFL. It would be on national television, standalone. And the only negative is there may be some teams that have, like, literally 3 weeks off. Everybody would get a week off before the game's played. Not ideal, but at least in fairness, everybody would have played a 17-game schedule. That's one of the reasons why there's 2 weeks before the Super Bowl that gives you a buffer to allow to be able to make the change. There'll be just 1 week off. The best Super Bowls are played when there's only 1 week off anyway. And then nothing has to change as far as the date for the Super Bowl because you're locked in with hotels and travel and everything else. That, to me, is the best-case scenario. Now, is there any chance that game could be meaningless depending on what happens in Week 18?
No. I don't think it can be meaningless. What I'm more concerned about, Don, is that the Bills will not be in the right frame of mind and will not play this weekend. Then the NFL has a conundrum because you can't force guys. I believe that yesterday's suspension of the game was a direct result of the players going, we're not playing. That's
right.
It. We're not playing. We can't play. I don't blame them. And the NFL did the right thing and said, you know what, you're right, rather than fight them on. Imagine if they say you have to play. And then the players come out and say, we refuse to play. Then you got a really nasty situation. But as tough as this seems, and again, I hope this kid makes it and is able to live a normal life and play again. You know, we talked about Chris Pronger. It happened to him. And he played 12 more years and made the Hall of Fame. But there are many instances that you could look back in sports history and see, well what happened in a case like this? And the one that we all came up with before the show was Thurman Munson dying in a plane crash on August 2nd. And the Yankees started a four-game set the next day at Yankee Stadium against the Orioles. And you know what, Don? They played. And they played on August 4th. And they played on August 5th. Then they went to Thurman Munson's funeral. And Lou Piniella and Bobby Mercer gave the eulogies. And they kept back and played on August 6th. And the Yankees, the Major League Baseball had told the Yankees, you can't go to the funeral because you won't get back in time to play the game. And that's when George Steinbrenner stepped up and said, then we'll forfeit. But they did make it back in time. And Bobby Mercer had the five RBIs. So it's a tough call because players have to be mentally right to play football. Will they be mentally right, or will the NFL say, listen, you have an obligation to play this game? Now, if the kid's in the hospital and still fighting and the prognosis is good, I don't think that they could sit back and go, well, we're still not of the right frame of mind. God forbid, though, if something happens terrible and it goes wrong, then I think you've got a situation where the Bills might not be able to play.
I don't know. I guess it'll be up to them, and then you have to honor their wishes. But, yeah, logistically it becomes a bit of a nightmare. But like I said earlier in the show, it'll work itself out. You know, you just can't – it really just comes across very callous if you force teams to play, right? Remember the NFL when they forced them to play after the Kennedy assassination, and it lingered for years that there was a poor decision. So you'd rather err on doing what's right, and then you just have to work it out. But we have to live in a world, guys, that when you start getting to that point, not everything is going to be fair. You know, so if it means that there's a half game because that game is never played, then so be it. If it means that teams are going to have 3 weeks off before a game is played, then so be it. If it means, Michael, at some point they're going to have to move the Super Bowl, then that's what you're going to have to do.
Well, see, that would be very difficult.
Very, very difficult. But again, you're talking about difficult and then just what looks right. And I don't think Roger Goodell would be in a good place to force the Buffalo Bills to play a game they don't want to play. And then so you've got to be prepared to honor their wishes and move forward. Because Peter's right. You could really feel and have your heart in it, but at some point we all have to kind of get back to normal. Because there's a lot of things. Just like whenever there's a lockout or a strike, Michael, there are vendors at games that count on that game being played, so they get paid. And there's a lot of things. The world eventually does move on, but I just think it's a lot easier to make the adjustments to move on rather than force everything to go as planned.
You just
have to make adjustments.
There's something here that does bother me about this whole story besides how obviously terrifying and sad it is. There's like something performative going on, though, about the way everybody – the NFL, the media, the player. There's something performative about this. We live in a world where we pretend that this isn't happening all the time. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you pay attention to the news, guys, there are so many player deaths the way that this happened with DeMar Hamlin was terrifying because we've never seen anything like it. Cardiac arrest from being hit randomly. I understand. It was totally freak and terrifying. But it's almost like we're pretending that this game isn't incredibly violent and leading to deaths of young men all the time. We're like suspending the idea that this is what happens. So the NFL is going to put on his whole song and dance, and we're all going to pretend the games don't matter. The only thing that matters is life. If that's the truth, this game should be banished. I'm sorry. If we were to go look through the amount of young men who died in 2022... whose career, ended in 2012, 2009, 2005. Guys, it's a lot. And so I care immensely about DeMar Hamlin, but I'm a little nauseated that we all pretend that just because we saw it right in our face, that it's not happening delayed over time, over and over again. It's the reality of this game. It's like boxing. Right. It's like MMA. It really does have real repercussions. And last night we saw it as a country. We were forced to face what part of football really is.
It's just a matter of it's tough to describe it. It just didn't feel right to play the game yesterday. It didn't feel right. But how will we feel about next week? Maybe it won't feel wrong to play. I don't know. I think Peter, because that's what's weird about it, right? If God forbid he had passed away in a car accident going home after the game, they would play next week. It'd be a practice the next day. But it was something about it being on the field and dramatic. It just didn't seem right to play.
And don't get me wrong, good that they didn't do it. But it's just this whole idea that we kept saying they can't do it. They can't. There are people every week there are injuries occurring that are going to cost someone down the line big time in their life. It's just what this game is. And yesterday we were all just forced to look at it for what it really is. It is a life or death game. There's a reason that these guys deserve all the money that they get. You know, it's a bit of a ransom. But it is.
But to me, this wasn't about football, because as we had, you know, Danny from Long Island's not wrong.
It was freak.
Baseball players and soccer players, you know. So there could be a player that can get killed in a baseball game getting hit with a fastball, you know. So it's not so much, well, it's a violent game, this is going to happen. This could have happened anywhere, anytime. It was just to see it happen on national television was really strange. The game was also on ABC, so many more people watched it. It's a standalone game. And
This one incident, Mike, you know what I'm saying? This one could have happened in any sport, but it didn't. It happened in this sport because of the fact that there's hard contact on every single play.
It could happen on every play. And I think the thing that freaks the players out, rightfully so, they know every time they take the field, it's not just win or loss. Their life is in danger every single time you take the field as a professional football player. If you ever stand on the field during a game and you see how violent and fast it is, you're amazed it doesn't happen more.
That's
true. I think they saw real life right in front of them as one of their own is having his chest pounded on to restart his heart. I think that really sobered them up.
It was scary, man.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So last year, he loses in the college football semifinals. And, you know, he had beaten Ohio State first time since he's been the coach there. So that kind of absolved him. And then he beat Ohio State this year, and that got him into the college football playoffs again. But after last year, he flirted with teams about going to the NFL and then said that he told Michigan, if I don't take this job, I'm never going to do this again. So now there's a report out from David Newton of ESPN that David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, and Jim Harbaugh have spoken about the opening that Carolina will have, although Steve Wilkes has done a good job. Harbaugh has a sincere interest in the Carolina job, according to the Queen City News. If I'm Michigan, University of Michigan, get lost. I know you're one of our own. We can't have this every single year. You're the coach of Michigan, or you go back to the NFL. Every year, this is not going to work. It doesn't help recruiting. You're out. You want to go get an NFL job? Go get an NFL job. Enough of this nonsense. Donnie does it 2 years in a row after last year saying he would never flirt with the NFL again. He's going to stay at Michigan if he didn't take the job last year. So what are you doing? You can't keep doing this.
No, you can't just – you're right. I mean, I would think if Marco one day is good enough to play football, and Harbaugh is sitting in my living room trying to convince my son to go to Michigan, I want to know that he is going to be there for 4 years. How could you possibly sell that to any recruit when every single year you're going to flirt with an NFL team? And you have gone to the NFL already before and had some success going to a Super Bowl. Like, I Michael, as much as you commit to a university, I have to believe you commit to a coach. That's the guy that's sitting in the room. That's the guy that's recruiting you. I'm going to take care of your son. I'm going to cultivate your son into becoming an NFL player under my tutelage. And then what, a year in? He's going to go to Carolina and coach for the Panthers? How does that work for Michigan?
And again, it's great to have one of your own being the head coach. He's lost six straight ball games. And you lost to TCU. You should not have lost to TCU, although TCU is better than a lot of us thought. But come on, you can't keep holding it over Michigan's head. I think he was really ticked off because they almost fired him 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he took less money, they cut his salary, and now he's really sticking it to him. Well, now Michigan should turn around and go, now we're sticking it to you. You're out. You're out. You're going to keep flirting, you're out. It's like a husband that keeps flirting with women when you're out to dinner with your wife. The wife, has, after a while, has to go, you know what, you're out. You want to flirt, you're out. Stop.
I know, but you're It's weird because I don't have my pulse on what's happening in Michigan and how they feel about him, how beloved he is there. But that's half the battle, right? Like you say, all right, I'm going to let you go. How does the fan base react to that? You know, what kind of pressure is going to be on the guy that replaces him? Now, you can talk about those six straight bowl losses, but you know they're relevant every year, competing for a national championship every year. He's a guy that played there. He's a popular coach. So you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face either. Even though they haven't won, Michael, they're still very good. I don't know how the fan base would react to him being let go.
So we were talking earlier about how Don and I sent a check to Anthony Pusick kind of as a Christmas gift.
Very nice of you.
And Peter didn't.
Okay.
So on Twitter, I'll met Jets fan, right? So real Michael K works 6 months of the year, not true, and gives Anthony Pusick money. Ken Rosenthal works every day and doesn't. And I always thought Michael was a bad guy. And he CC'd Don LaGreca. The guy buries Ken Rosenthal for no reason.
Did he add him too?
No, his name's there. At Ken
he added
Rosenthal.
Him.
Yeah, he added him. Ken Rosenthal, why should he give Anthony Pusick money?
You know what? I think it's the right thing to do.
I don't get it, Don. It's unfair to Rosenthal to be thrown in.
You know what? I would take exception to that if I was Ken. Anthony, you didn't expect anything from Ken, did you?
No, I might get a bow tie on the next Fox broadcast.
That's
though.
Right.
I mean, Dave Rothenberg is going to get criticized too.
Right. He should all be.
If it's
down.
A Rose or a Burr.
Let's get it.
By the way, how do you confuse me with someone? No, we do share a Rosen. We share a Rosen.
You share a Rosen. It. And about the same height. He's a little shorter than
thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's a waif of a man, but very, very talented.
Very talented.
I know Grasa gets a lot of tweets for Dan Graziano.
Oh, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah. But this is a first, Peter. I don't think. Heck, I never get anything from Dave, and we have the same last name. Like, that's a bad job.
I could say
Rosenthal should not be confused with Dave Rothman.
By the way, just for future reference, when people play around with like the Rosen part of my name, I think they're right on the line of being able to claim being offended.
You really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
People love playing with the Rosen part of my name. I think I could very easily call anti-Semitism on that anytime.
I'm not crazy about Rosenberg.
A source told me George Santos also gave
is that true?
Anthony a check.
Is that true?
Yeah,
that
gave
is
him
not
a,
true.
A
not
much
true
bigger check than Don and I gave, George Santos.
This I'll tell you what, I know we don't do politics on this show.
No.
That one didn't clear, though.
The Santos story is getting absolutely insane, though.
Imagine saying, I didn't say I was Jewish. I said I was Jewish.
It's
one of the great lies of all time.
You can't believe it's like the whole thing's like an SNL skit.
Yes.
You can't believe it's real.
And when SNL comes back, it will be a skit.
Oh, and it will. Damn right it will be.
Hey, let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, talk to us. That was a terrible performance.
Yes, it certainly was. Happy New Year. And, unfortunately, you all three of you hit the point of that last night. There is no right or wrong. Whatever they decide to do, just hope they keep it as normal as possible, sensitivity-wise, and hopefully this guy pulls out of this. But, you know, it was a putrid performance. It's amazing how fortunes of the Giants turned, and now the Jets, it looked like the Jets are like a year or two ahead of the Giants, and now it looks like the Jets are light years behind the Giants.
So weird.
Because I have no quarterback. My head coach I have major concerns about. He seemed like he was taking some steps in the middle of the season, but this last month, There's just no excuse. I mean, you can't have a home game against Jacksonville and then go out to Seattle and pull two no-shows.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't think they ever recovered from the Brock Wright 51-yard touchdown, because after that play, this was a different team. And I know they were having quarterback issues, but this defense, and they weren't the same. And it's unfortunate the way it's panned out. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, Woody and I assume Joe Douglas have some big decisions to make, because I'm not calling for anybody's job, but if there are better options out there, you might have to consider it, because there's going to be changes. And I told you that Mike LaFleur was in this job over his head, and it's proven that, you know, unfortunately, I wish I was wrong. I think I'm right. The offense is just, it's lost. And
one thing, Ira, is that fair, though? I mean, he's the offensive coordinator of an offense without a quarterback. Now, you could say, well, the quarterback, Zach Wilson, didn't get any better under him. Well, I mean, is that really his job to make the guy better? He's supposed to be calling plays. Mike White is a limited quarterback, despite everybody going gaga over him. Is it right? I mean, people are criticizing people for having judged Daniel Jones with no weapons. Well, how are we supposed to judge an offensive coordinator with no weapons, right, Don?
But let's use that analogy. Would you say coaching had a lot to do with Daniel Jones taking the step forward that he did? By creating plays that were for his athletic ability?
Maybe.
Like, I don't think he just all of a sudden found it, guys. I think that they finally had a competent coach to say, this is what Daniel Jones does well. Let's accentuate that.
Well, now, but if you're going to keep hiring defensive coordinators to be the head coach, that's what happens with the Jets.
Well, that's what Steve Young told us at nauseam every single week, and he keeps having a hammer at home. I mean, take a look at those playoff games in college. These are the kids that are coming out, guys. Yeah, they're good defenders out there for sure, but this is a league that's based on scoring points and developing quarterbacks. And I know the regimes have changed. Different general managers, different head coaches. But tell me the last time the Jets developed a quarterback. So Zach Wilson may be completely inept. Mike White might just be what he is. But don't the coaching staff take some blame on the fact that they haven't been able to get the best out of these guys? At least a little bit better. Because that's all it would have taken for this team to get into the playoffs, was just a little bit better at the quarterback position. Just a little bit. And they couldn't even do that.
Don's words carry more gravity when it has the national anthem behind him. Don't you think so, Peter?
Yeah, it's sounds
very... It makes you stand up and take notice.
I just hope we get to hear it again back to back. You know what I mean?
No, let's take a quick break while she'll take some water and she'll try again to see if she knows the words.
Maybe we'll start the 5 o'clock hour with a big, proper national anthem.
You know what? Why not?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.